And a very good welcome to this new edition of the IRRS Shortwave and Nexus Association's Listeners Mailbag program. At the microphone, I am Alfredo Cotroneo, and as I usually do every Sunday, at the same time at 09:30 hours Central European Time, and then with the repeated broadcast at 15:30 hours CET every Sunday, I'll be staying with you for the next 15 minutes or so. And today I'll be talking over the telephone from Chicago to Bill Pfeiffer, moderator of the Usenet group called Rec Radio Broadcasting. Well, Bill will be with me over the phone and we'll be discussing major issues related to the broadcasting hobbies and the broadcasting profession over the electronic mail and over internet and especially over Usenet, over these discussion forums and groups where you can read, where you can post your articles if you have a computer connected to the network. We've been discussing about that in one of the last edition of the Mailbag program, but let's hear from the voice of Bill Pfeiffer what is like being a moderator of a group of people reading and posting articles of about 10,000 or so people involved in the broadcasting profession?
Well, moderating a Usenet news group basically entails some aspects of a newspaper editor and also kind of a ring, I shouldn't say a ring leader, but a person who has to separate the good and the bad and get only, hopefully, the best stuff out onto the net. All articles that are posted to a moderated group, such as Rec Radio Broadcasting, are actually electronically mailed to the moderator, who then reads through them and determines whether or not these articles are appropriate for the given group in question, and then appends, changes the headers around a little bit so that the article will go out onto the network to the hundreds of thousands of readers that do read Usenet.
Well, as we know today, there are several groups over Usenet which deals about radio communication. Radio, rec radio, shortwave, rec radio, non-commercial broadcasting. There are also groups which deals about television. Where the idea of starting Rec Radio Broadcasting came from?
Well, when I began reading the net and getting involved in Usenet, I noticed that of the various radio-based groups, none of them specialized in specifically the broadcasting or the broadcasting industry or art. Rec Radio Shortwave, which is a fine news group, dealt almost exclusively with shortwave, as would the name imply, and to the reception and DXing, as it were. And there was very little that had to center around the broadcaster or the broadcasting phenomenon, as it were. So Rec Radio Broadcasting was really a brainchild of mine, because I felt that the net needed a news group that would bridge the gap between Rec Radio Shortwave and Rec Radio Noncom, a group, as you stated, is basically for non-commercial broadcasting news.
Well, I've been monitoring, I would say occasionally lately, the Rec Radio Broadcasting Usenet group and monitoring the postings and answering what the moderator, what Bill, had to say regarding to this posting. I would say that just about a couple of weeks ago, maybe a week ago, there has been quite a lot of discussion on one item, one particular item, which is also being relayed and discussed in other groups such as Old Radio Pirate.
Sure.
and it's concern micro broadcasting.
Right.
What that exactly is, Bill?
Well, the term micro broadcasting is an evolution of the term pirate broadcasting, which has had a connotation of illegality. And micro broadcasting is an effort that has been brought about to legalize the what is now considered pirate broadcasting. In other words, in the United States of America, even though we do have considerably more liberal laws regarding the licensing of stations than many other countries do, notably the United Kingdom, there is still quite a bit of difficulty in obtaining a broadcasting license. So that there are lots of people who believe that they're not being served by the current system of broadcasting. Micro radio is essentially an attempt to bring about a licensing of very small, low-powered stations designed to serve small communities, neighborhoods, and be operated not so much by large broadcasting companies, but by individuals or smaller groups who cannot afford the immense amounts of capital and money outlay that are required to get a license through traditional channels. So there's much discussion and dispute over the value of micro radio and what its impact will be on broadcasting in the United States primarily and elsewhere in the world should the United States legalize this form of broadcasting, which currently is not legal. Currently, there are many people operating these stations in their neighborhoods that are risking the possibility of being caught and fined and having their equipment confiscated, etc. Kind of like we've heard happened in South Africa and other places where communities have tried to get on the air to broadcast, and government has come along and said, "No, you can't do that." So, the short answer is that it's an attempt to legalize what is now considered pirate radio. In the United States, specifically?
Well, we have been talking about pirate radio stations in the United States of America in one of the recent edition of the Hello There program, Bill. However, there seems to be a difference between those stations who might apply for a license for micro-broadcasting and the real pirates. There seems to be a tendency in some kind of people, some kind of those small stations, to stay and to remain pirate. Who do you think are or would be the person or the people who would request a license to start a micro broadcasting station?
Well, Steve Dunifer, who is a gentleman who operates a pirate micro station in Berkeley, California, here in the United States, is one of the people who is posing a substantial legal challenge to the Federal Communications Commission, who regulates broadcasting here in the United States, to allow licensed micro-broadcasting. Yes, there are those who, for lack of a better word, choose to remain pirates. To them, the goal is not so much communication as it is to be challenging to the laws and to be out there and to be illegal. It is my opinion that these types of individuals are in the minority in the micro-broadcasting community, and many of them are illegal because they have felt disenfranchised by the current federal laws regulating broadcasting, so they've developed a pirate or a illegal attitude, and it's my belief that the majority of these individuals would gladly become legal if such a matter were to be allowed by the Federal Communications Commission.
What are the impression and the ideas of, for example, the commercial broadcasters?
Well, I can't speak with authority regarding the commercial broadcasters as a whole, because I believe there's differences of opinions in that group, just as there are differences of opinions in the micro radio group as to what the goals are. In general, my impression is that commercial broadcasters or major licensed broadcasters, be they commercial or non-commercial, are probably as a whole opposed to the idea on the grounds that their opinion is it would cause interference, as you've stated. Also, it is my opinion that commercial broadcasters are, in a sense, afraid that micro-broadcasters will proliferate to the extent that there will be extensive competition for listeners and possibly for advertising dollars from these smaller stations. Micro-broadcasters argue that point and say that commercial broadcasters are afraid mainly because they're not producing a creative or interesting product as a whole, and that they're afraid that micro-broadcasters will beat them creatively. I can't really say with any authority which of those arguments is the truest or if either of them are true, but my impression is that there is an overall negative feeling toward micro-broadcasters on the part of commercial or high-power broadcasters, mainly from a competition point of view, would be my impression.
Do you have any idea on what will be the behavior of the FCC or the U.S. government?
Basically, if history is any indication of the future, the FCC has maintained a very hardline stance against licensing of these stations. There has been a very high degree of enforcement and attempts to locate those stations which do go on the air illegally, and so far there's been no indication that the FCC has softened or revised its position on micro-broadcasting as a licensed radio service. It's definite that there would have to be concessions made regarding frequency space. As you pointed out, Milano having the bands basically crowded with stations. We also have quite a bit of that here already with just licensed broadcasters. So it is hard to say what the FCC will do. And with the commercial broadcasters in general taking a negative stance toward it, it's probably safe to say that it will be a tough fight to get micro-broadcasting licensed and legal in America, at least in the near future.
And that was Bill Pfeiffer from Chicago in the United States of America, moderator of the Usenet group Rec Radio Broadcasting. Well, if you have an internet connection or a Usenet connection, or if you can send an electronic mail, you can reach Bill Pfeiffer at articles@airwaves.chi.il.us. And this same address can be used for submission to the Rec Radio Broadcasting groups. Or if you would like to get more information, you can also subscribe to Rec Radio Broadcasting at writing to subscribe at airwaves.chi.il.us. Well, if you want to get more information, you can also write to us and we'll be sending you all the information that we have here in Milano at Nexus IBA. Well, until the next time, please write, keep your letter flowing, set your dial to our frequency, and tune in again in just about 7 days from now for another edition of the Hello There program from Nexus IBA in Milano.